always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined by SB Nation's own Harrison Fagan. Harrison, I got a comment the other day saying that it's really rude of me to go through my titles at the beginning of every show and not, like, explain your title there at SB Nation. And I just want to know, why send that comment from a burner? You could just text me if you want me to say yours.
I was going
to
say, I'm glad you saw my comment. you know, there's dozens of us. We're all really upset that you're not giving me my proper respect as, like, a true, you know, I think some would say hero of journalism.
Of journalism.
Yeah. That's what I do every day. Somebody's got to fight on the front lines for, like, SEO optimization. And
and that is you. Capes at the dry cleaner right now, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I try not to, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to be so in your face to the audience about, like, how much of a hero I am. It's like, I got to be a little humble and, like, downplay it. You know, I don't need to put on the whole, it's like, right now I'm Clark Kent, you know, but I put on the cape when I go out to save the world. Okay. Right now I'm just podcasting.
Today on the show, we are going to be talking about the impact these playoffs, including the Lakers' time in those playoffs, have had on my outlook of the Lakers' offseason, and specifically as it pertains to Giannis Antetokounmpo. And we all watched last night's game between the Thunder and the Spurs, in which a 7'5" alien knocked down a 30-footer to send the damn thing into overtime. The crazy thing, Harrison, is that, like, I know I'm not the first to point this out either, but as crazy as Wemby's performance was, the Spurs might be, like, even more terrifying because they had this rookie Dylan Harper putting up the line that he put up. They had Harrison Barnes, who I think is on he's on a $17-ish million expiring contract.
Yeah, it's not crazy money, but it's like it's real money.
Yeah, and then you have De'Aaron Fox, who is on crazy money.
Yeah.
And they were both sitting on the sidelines, and the Spurs knocked off the reigning champion and, for my money, best team in the league. I should maybe rethink how I invest my money. Oklahoma City Thunder at home, you know, and Thunder fans are walking away from it saying, oh, well, you know, the Shea didn't even play that well. And it basically nobody outside of J-Dub and Caruso actually did play particularly well. Chet was awful. And they're using that as a reason to be kind of optimistic or confident in their team here moving forward in the series. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to examine why perhaps Chet played the way that he did, and maybe why Shai Gilgeous-Alexander struggled against San Antonio's perimeter defense.
Anthony, it's just bad luck that they've had 8 bad games in a row against the Spurs. At some point, that's going to flip. And it's going to regress upwards to the mean. Okay. You know,
right.
Eventually the spreadsheets do come through and finish out the basketball game.
Yep. So, I walk away from that, as well as this, that same Thunder team pretty unceremoniously beating the shit out of the Lakers. asking myself, like, hey, do I need to rethink? And, you know, was I being too cute when I examined the Lakers offseason and really kind of focused on depth and stuff like that? And in reality, is the surest path to catching up to these teams just acquiring the superstar who happens to likely be available this summer? So we're going to talk about that and the various elements of that conversation, right? What would it take? You know, whether you agree with my stance is that, yeah, I do think that the Lakers should go out and get Giannis now, having watched the way that these playoffs have gone. So we'll discuss that. We'll debate that. If there is a debate there to be had, you guys can participate, obviously, in that conversation or debate in the chat as well. And then, you know, over the course of the show, if you guys have any other topics that you want to hit on, hit us with those, and we'll try to get those at the tail end of the show as well. Quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but it does not matter to me where you get them. And we dive on in. So yeah, Harrison, I think that this offseason has really been impacted, or my outlook for this offseason has really been impacted by what we've seen from these playoffs here and from those two teams specifically that we watched last night. Those two teams are leaps and bounds way further ahead than the Lakers and Denver and any other contender that you want to point to, right? Minnesota, I think, is kind of lumped into that tier two group with the Lakers and Denver as well. We'll see what teams like Portland and Utah and the Clippers and the Warriors look like next season too. But for me, the Lakers are very, you know, cemented into, you know, that tier behind OKC and San Antonio. And I really think that the only way, and there are reasons beyond just the talent acquisition, but the only way that the Lakers can really have a hope at bridging that gap is by bringing in Giannis. What do you think?
You know, it's an interesting take. I told you this when we were setting up the show, but like I hadn't watched that game and thought about Giannis, but it is sort of an interesting way to, like, you know, look at it through a Lakers lens of it, because I was sitting there watching that game and it's like, you know, like, it's like the early stages of a disaster movie where it's like, oh, you're like looking outside and it's like everyone's like forming like roving Mad Max-esque gangs. And it's like, okay, I'm not built for this. Like, I'm just going to stay inside. I'm going to stay away. Like, I'm going to let them do their thing over out there. Hopefully it blows over. And then, you know, like, I'll come out, you know, maybe if it's safe. Like, I'm not wading into those waters. But, you know,
you're the guys in This Is the End, right? They hunker down and that one dude's house.
They're like, let's just stay in the mansion. I think we're better off in here. Let's just stay in the mansion. It's you know, who knows what's going on out there. let's just see. Eventually this will all clear up.
Wemby's just out there getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wemby's like the 700-foot Satan walking around, just like knocking down the whole city.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, the Giannis thing is interesting because he is the type of guy where it's like, okay, like if we're trying to find, okay, we need our own freak alien weapon, it's like that's probably the closest you can get, you know, is going and getting Giannis. Is like, okay, we need our own like sort of freakish athlete who has just like an insane physical advantage that can't be equaled by anyone. You know, like it's like, you know, they have Rock, but like we you know, we're gonna go get Paper and we're gonna hope that like Paper can hold up against the Rock. And I also think that a lot of this to me depends on the same thing that I've been saying like every time we've talked about Giannis, is like, where is Giannis at in his career and what is he valuing and what is he looking to do? Like, is he deciding that, okay, like I'm leaving Milwaukee, I just want to win rings, and to do that I am willing to be sort of the small ball center. I am going to focus all my energy on being the Wemby stopper. I'm just going to use my strength. I'm going to use my length. I'm going to try and like knock him off his spots. I'm going to try and make it. I'm going to be the like the biggest Pat Beverly that the world has ever seen and try to do that and try to like and try to really bother him. You know,
I really hope you aren't in charge of selling Giannis on going to the Lakers if that is your pitch.
Okay, so Giannis, you could be big Lou Dort, you know? You ever wanted to be Lou Dort?
Giannis,
no, it's just like, I don't know, to me, it's
come back.
How much is he about winning, you know? And like, how much is he, or how much is it like, I just want to go to another team and I want to be the guy and I want to like sort of have a chance, but like, I don't, you know, I don't necessarily want to sort of put myself lower on the totem pole and sort of say like, okay, Luka, Austin, you handle the offense. I'm just going to be as big of a defensive monster as I can possibly be. And especially in that series specifically, like, you know, cause if he just wants to be run and dunk man, you know, and that like, that has, we've seen it, that has a ceiling. And especially like at this current stage that he's at, where he isn't the unstoppable athlete he once was. Yeah. Like he's still a 99th percentile NBA athlete, but he's not a guy like in terms of durability and in terms of athletic ability that's like, you know, it, like, or he was Wemby a while ago, where it's just like, yeah, this is just not fair what this guy can do just in terms of like being able to go through guys' chests.
How is he dunking from there? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what if Shaq was like fast? You know, was sort of like the Giannis.
So it's a crazy thing. Early Shaq was.
What if Shaq was faster? You know, what if like young skinny Shaq was like could dribble? You know, and that was sort of like the Giannis thing. And like I think that I get what you're saying in terms of top end talent and needing to sort of like stack weapons to be able to go punch for punch with those teams. You know, after last night, I'm like less sure that that's even possible. But Giannis is like an interesting idea to like maybe bridge that gap.
So here's where I'm at on it. And it has a lot to do with slotting guys in proper spots, right? Where like as it stands right now, let's say for whatever reason, the Lakers and LeBron can't agree on a number, or LeBron sees like Cleveland as a better opportunity to win, seeing as they are in the conference finals and the Lakers are not. And seeing as Cleveland doesn't have to go through both San Antonio and OKC, right? So let's remove LeBron out of this, and the Lakers basically say, as
Rob Pelinka just got excited. He heard, let's remove LeBron out of this, and he's like, yes, finally. Right.
But like let's say that the Lakers are basically saying, all right, well, Austin is going to be option number two here on the Lakers moving forward, and we're going to surround those guys with a whole bunch of depth and athleticism and ideally youth and stuff like that too. Maybe you upgrade it at center using some of the cap space that is not devoted to LeBron returning, and you go into next season and that is your team. I just don't think, you know, all due respect to Austin, who is due a bunch of respect, I think, but I just don't think the Lakers have a snowball chance in hell against these teams if Austin is your second best option going up against. You look at some of the second best or the number two options in that series between OKC and San Antonio, and I'm sorry, Austin is just not in that grouping. And I look at like if you bring in Giannis,
but he would be an elite third banana against those teams.
Yes, absolutely. You bring in Giannis, and option two becomes Giannis in the short role when he runs pick and roll, ideally with Luka or even with Austin. And now all of a sudden you have this all world advantage on every single possession. And then, you know, if we want to bring the LeBron element back into this thing, I don't know many better ways of convincing LeBron, you know, that his money that he would be sacrificing to return to the Lakers would be money well given up. I don't know if there's any surer way of doing that than telling him, hey, we got Giannis. Like, do you want to come back on one of the exceptions? You want to come back on, you know, one of the exceptions that you're going to have to accept, whether it be in Golden State or in Cleveland or with the Knicks or whatever. Like we got Giannis, and the team could potentially be Luka, Giannis, you, Austin. I would imagine Ayton opts in at that point. Maybe you use another one of the exceptions to upgrade there if he does opt out and he does peace out. You bring back Marcus at one of the exceptions as well. You probably lose Rui in this hypothetical because of the amount of cap space that it would have to you have to use on bringing Giannis back or bringing Giannis into the fold. But overall, like that to me is at least like the proper starting point of slotting guys into their proper spot at the very top of the roster and then hoping everything else kind of fills out from there on out. And you know, we could get into why I think the Lakers have a viable chance. And like, set aside what I think or what you think about the Lakers' chances at Giannis. The Lakers have, I reported that the Lakers were confident in their chances at Giannis months ago. And I very quietly the other day, Shams included the Lakers in that final grouping of teams that are really going to be pursuing Giannis this summer. So,
and did reach out.
Yeah. And they reached out over the course of the season too. So it's like, I don't know. And by the way, I'm the same guy who has been incredibly annoyed with Giannis's handling of his eventual departure from Milwaukee. I do think that, you know, he has moved a little crooked behind the scenes there in Milwaukee based on some of the things that you hear around the league. However, this is a talent predicament that the Lakers find themselves in, where they are at such a talent detriment compared to a talent deficit. Compared to OKC in San Antonio, that like it, the only way that I could really see them, you know, forcing their way into that conversation is to bring in absolute elite top level talent, hoping that it fits and meshes well over the course of the season and hoping that it stays healthy enough to contend with those teams by the time that they would eventually meet.
Yeah, and you know, if you're selling Giannis on this too, I think the way to do it is maybe not comparing him to like the world's biggest Pat Bev, but I don't know, they were teammates. Maybe he's a Pat Bev fan. Like, it might be though saying like, look, you know, what are the rings that people remember the most? It's when you stop the guy who's supposed to be the next guy. You know, and mm-hmm. you like get in his way, and you sort of show like, no, like the old lion hold off another is still year, here. Bro. Yeah. And so like, you know, it's like Dirk in the 2011 finals. You know, people remember that ring more mostly because he defeated LeBron to get it. You know, he stopped LeBron from getting his first ring. And, you know, there was obviously a lot of like context there, you know, at the time, given the free agency decision, whatever. People aren't like that negative on Wemby. You know, it won't be like the Lakers suddenly become America's team because they're defeating the Spurs. But I do think that like people will remember it and respect it more if you were like, hey, I went to the West and I'm going to stop this guy that everyone says is inevitable. And I'm going to show that I still like I'm going to show Unk still got it, you know?
Yeah. A couple of the Unks, right? Like you have, like, because I do think in this,
I think LeBron is grandpa at this point. I think LeBron is beyond Unk. You know, moved on like from Unk. they're like Gramp still got it.
He's the Unk that other Unks are calling Unk.
Yeah, he's like like Giannis gets to call him Unk. Everyone else on the team, Gramps,
the great Unk. Yeah, like I think that like you have the way that to me I would sell Giannis on it is, hey, you've been in Milwaukee this whole time, cold weather, smallish market, not tiny but smallish, you know, you could bring your family out to a temperate that is maybe a little closer to Greece than Milwaukee has been. I'm sure that some direct flight from LAX to Greece could be figured out. The airline situation is just obviously so stable right now that, you know, it's totally easy to make something like that work. But like,
planes are about to get so expensive. Giannis, you're going to have plenty of flight options available. You know, there's not going to be a lot of people wanting to use the planes.
Right. And, you know, I would just, you know, for like, as far as like the basketball explanation to him or the selling him on the basketball element of it, you know, look, he wants to be point forward. He could have lineups where he's the point forward. He wants to, you know, have life be easier on him than it has been since they, you know, since especially Dame went down there in Milwaukee. Well, I don't know much better situations that are much easier situations than all of the attention that would be paid to Luka in a pick and roll spot. Coming off of there, or you know, all of the attention. Could you like? How would you even defend a foursome of Luka, Austin, LeBron, and Giannis? How would that even like? What would you even attempt to do there? Like, the ball moves around. You could run pick and rolls on either side of the court with the skip passes from strong side to weak side. If you have even a remotely able-bodied, like let alone if Giannis is playing the five and he's there at the dunker spot, but if you have like a remotely able-bodied big there at the dunker spot, then you really have no idea how you know, the teams would, you know, stop the blender from starting or putting them, you know, completely in you know, compromised situations. I think all four of those guys make it so that, you know, they could, you know, take the occasional game off or the playoff or whatever, and stay fresher over the course of the year. I think all of those guys make, you know, their own, they compound each other's talents and presences out there on the basketball court. Like, to me, I think if the point of Giannis leaving Milwaukee is to put himself in a better situation as far as winning a championship, going to the team that has, you know, that kind of talent sitting there waiting for him is probably the best sell. So if that's the case, you do whatever work you can so that Giannis kind of sort of, you know, puts his finger on the scales, forces his way to LA. The Lakers can absorb a big chunk of Giannis's salary into their cap space and thus create a really big trade exception that Milwaukee could turn into additional picks by working with other teams to bring on some of their bad contracts. The Lakers could send out, you know, those three picks that they could send out on draft day. And now all of a sudden, I think that is I wouldn't, you know, consider that the most realistic outcome of this summer, or I wouldn't even say that the Lakers are the favorites to land Giannis, but that's, I don't know. I'm talking myself into it as I'm talking. I'm really good at that. You know, I'm really good at talking myself into dumb things. But
who's better at talking you into things than you. You're like, damn, yeah. I am smart. You know,
that's why I was such a good salesperson back in the day, is because, like, you know, the whole key is to, you know, convince somebody that it's their idea, you know, and for me, it's like, yeah, all of this shit's my
by the end
ideas.
Of it, you genuinely believed they looked amazing in that suit and it would be making a mistake if they didn't buy it, you know.
And then they walked out. I was like, oof, man, they shouldn't have gone.
Like, how did I talk myself into that? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But what do you think about the basketball situation there?
I mean, the basketball situation is going to, you know, on the plus side of that, we saw JJ successfully navigate a situation this year where there could have been a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of guys feeling a certain way about, oh, my role should be bigger, I should be getting more shots, I should whatever. And he got LeBron to commit to being a third option, like, you know, when Luka and Austin were healthy. And so if there's anyone that can get Giannis to say, like, okay, you know, you are essentially like our, like, small ball center, like, you know, brute force power forward guy now, you are not, like, sort of going to be like the point forward for the team. Like, we're going to, you know, yes, you will get to dribble sometimes. Like, we're going to have possessions where we take advantage of that skill set that you have, but you're not going to be the one, like, sort of initiating offense and just brute forcing your way to the rim every single possession through, like, a wall of bodies, because we don't think that is what's going to allow, like, how many times have you played in the playoffs the last couple of years? Like, we think that those two things are correlated, and we want to try and make things easier on you.